So I'm just about
recording going.
Yes, it's just starting. I'm just about ready to call us to order. Hello and welcome to the February 11th, 2014 Civil Service Commission regular meeting. In attendance are myself, Robert Killian, Commissioners Ed Alex, and our newest Commissioner Rich Daniels, also in attendance. That just stepped out, but she'll be right back, is the Director of HR, Kate Brown, and our new Secretary Chief Examiner, Amber Richards. Chief Hamner will not be joining us today. Also in attendance are Officer Eric Beffer and Guild President, and from the public, Mike Sarasi. Meeting is now called to order. Item number two, any disclosures of conflict of interest and important meeting communication. Just for Rich's behalf, a little discussion on this is a standing agenda item that is required by our ethics board and just our notion of transparency and disclosures of any conflict of interest. And it can range from anything to I attended a public meeting, and we did, and I'll discuss some of the ones that I attended, to a civilian applicant has slipped me 50 to make sure my name gets number one on the list. It can be something as egregious as that versus, hey, I attended the awards ceremony for the police commission. But it's just our ability to make any conflicts of interest and transparency known with how we as commissioners conduct ourselves and any between-meeting communications that we might have. So that's what we discuss at this point. So what I've done over the last month is attend a chief's forum on February 6th, where he reached out to the public for traits and characteristics. I think we all attended that. And then on February 7th, I had coffee with our newest secretary and chief examiner, Amber Richards and Kate Brown, to welcome her aboard and talk about that transition. And then prior to that, I went to the Bainbridge Island Police Department's awards ceremony back in January, and then in between that I had a few email exchanges with Kim Hendrickson regarding some issues that she raised and questions that she had over preference points for non-veterans points or non-veterans type status situations, whether or not we could give veterans points to or additional points in scoring matrices to for other issues, for background, education, or for mental health training and such. And I also had some email exchanges with some officers. Our new guild officers were voted in at the beginning of the new year, and I passed on our contact information to them as well. And trying to think of anything else I had. I had a phone conversation with William Foster, one of our past commissioners, regarding some of the rules and amendments to get some advice. He and Bruce Weiland are two other past members are the ones that did most of the rules amendment. So that's it. So we pass it to our other commissioners to discuss those kind of things before we move on. Ed, you want to?
Well, I'm not prepared to give one that detail, because I did go to the chief's meeting and the awards ceremony. And other than that, I had nothing that caused possible conflicts of interest. I did not take any agreements to outside the scope of this meeting, which I think we should avoid.
Rich?
And just so the record is clear, I did deliver just a few moments ago to Ms. Brown the written statement regarding potential conflicts of interest. I was also in attendance at the forum with the chief on the 6th. And I have alternate public involvement as a member of the county commission responsible for the distribution of proceeds from the mental illness and drug diversion tax, mid-tax. And that involves frequent contact I've had on multiple occasions with community activists and with police officers of this department and others, primarily related to the performance of duties in dealing with the mentally ill and drug dependent. That's what I've been up to.
Okay, great. So that it's kind of an ongoing thing, and we'll receive a briefing from the Ethics Board on Open Public Meetings Act and Ethics Commissions, and that's just one of their things that any time that you have a situation that comes up as one of our agenda items or the future, you just make that disclosure, and then we as a commission can review that going forward. So we appreciate your transparency. Okay, item number three. so our, Annually, we vote to bring in a new chair and vice chair, and my term ended in December, and this is our first regular meeting since then. So I'm more than willing to pass the gavel to any other interested chairman that would like to stand up for chair or vice chair, so if anybody would like to.
Well, it's not something I want to fight over, but I like the idea of rotation of the chair, and I'm glad you two. Since I asked you, I'm going to ask to get it this year, but I'd like to see Rich get it next year. Just, you know, continue the process if I get it. So I don't know if we need to nominate or, you know, how that works, or I need to nominate myself, or anybody want to nominate me?
Is there any?
I'll nominate you. And just so I'd certainly appreciate the chance for leadership opportunity, but you need to learn what you're doing first.
Okay.
So this is not the
Well, actually, I think it is, you know, it's, as I told Rob last meeting, it's not great. If it was, I'd probably ask him to stay on. Anyway.
Okay, so we have a nomination. Yep, we have a nomination for Ed. All in favor for chair for Ed Alex? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Ed is our new chair. How about vice chair? Would you like to sit in as vice chair for if situations when Ed is not available to run the meetings or respond to situations?
I would volunteer for that under instruction of capable mentors.
Certainly, we could certainly accommodate that. Okay.
I'm going to need a lot of mentors.
So I would be happy to nominate Rich Daniels as vice chair. Second, all in favor. Aye. Both motions pass unanimously. We have our new chair and vice chair. Okay. Next item number four. Do you want to pick up on the agenda from here?
Yeah, might as well.
Okay.
Since I'm the chair now.
Yep, go ahead.
It's up to you, though. Do you want to finish it?
I have some talking points, and we can go through it.
Only thing I would just ask is if everybody remembers to speak. Okay, that helps. I just went off. So make sure we can hear you on the recording.
Okay, Kate. Thanks. And if I, you know, if I screw up anything else, someone, you know, because I probably will. So what's our next meeting? The December...
We're approving the December 10th.
Yes, has everyone read them? And is there a motion? Are there any changes or corrections?
I had two minor corrections on page 2.
Yeah.
The last paragraph regarding the executive session, the evaluation of the qualification for an applicant, the last line there, the motion was seconded by Vice Chair Alex. Was it Vice Chair William Foster, or was it Ed Alex that seconded the motion?
Okay.
I think we may have to go back and listen to the audio to see
yes.
that correction.
I can easily do that.
And then the only other one, it's the top of that page, it says page 2 of 3, and I think that's just a typo, it's mm-hmm. 2 of 2, so no one was looking for a mystery third page.
Sure, we can make those corrections.
So although I appreciate the promotion.
So those were the only... things I have, so I move to approve the December 10th minutes as amended.
Second.
And,
all in favor, please.
Aye.
All right, let's go to, by the way, I'm going to have to get bigger type. I'm sorry. Number 5 is the public comment section. We have a gentleman here from the public. Would you like to make any comments to us, sir?
Yeah, I'd like to put the new chair on the spot really quick.
Give your name.
My name is Mike Ceresi. This agenda is going to take a little over an hour, and I just wondered if we could rearrange the agenda a little bit to move forward the reason I'm here, the proposed rules amendments, and then resume the agenda beyond that point.
Is that your... is that your only request?
That's it.
Yeah, thank you. Is there a problem with it?
As it's a regular meeting, we can reorder the agenda as we see fit. So
we'd be glad to do that.
Thank you.
So we'll go down to, let's see, what item it would be. We'll take it out of order.
Number 9.
Okay, we'll go to item 9. Kate, do you want to have any input on that first?
No, I mean, in terms of moving it, or, yeah, it's fine with me. No problem.
We have a couple of suggestions from the, actually, I thought the, I'll just comment on it, we're not, but I thought the the amendment involving the wording, rather than just you just, you know, take it, that we'd have to approve you take it, or the commissioner taking, standing in and doing, having certain duties was a good amendment. I wish I had the wording.
Are you talking about Mike's email?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure I need to.
So just a little background on, I think one of your main concerns was the striking under 18.4.1, that language under the authority of the secretary.
Are you speaking to me?
Yes.
The contents of what you deleted, in my mind, was revised to omit what was in the current document. There were some changes made at the expense of some deletions, I felt.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give you a little background, since I'm the only person that chose to read these and send some comments in the 1960s, I was on a civil service commission. So I read that because of those past meetings and activities that I was involved in many years ago. And I take them very serious. So that's a little bit of my background. That's the reason I looked at 18.4, because of the change there that I saw.
So I would note that much of that language was moved out of 18.4.1, and a new section was created under 18.8, and much of the language is very similar. Talking to William Foster and Bruce Weiland about that change last year and then yesterday, the changes mainly occurred after lessons learned from a past appeal of an applicant that came in. And even going back prior to that, much of the reorganization of these rules that we did 2 years ago now, and then these rules as well, was to ensure that the final say of decision making and appeal authority laid at the commission's feet, not at the secretary chief examiner's feet, and that any actions that the secretary is really only at the behest and direction of the commission. That's where the authority honestly really lies, is at the appointed commission level. And that's why we moved that section. The language stayed almost identical and just moved to a new section under non-disciplinary hearings under 18.8.
Any particular paragraph?
It's a whole new paragraph, 18.18, non-disciplinary appeals.
Page 30.
It's underlined mid-page 30.
So it's 18.18. That's new. Let me go back to the proposed change. I see the use of a word like compel to be strong. That's not the language that I felt prevailed in the document. And then when you get to that word compelled, it just seemed like a softer word could have been used there.
Which section are you referring to?
I'm in 18.4.1. That's on page 27. So you can read that the role of the secretary really isn't changed with the language. But when you read through there and it says including motions for discovery and to compel, I just felt that was a really strong word. And I don't know quite for sure that the rest of the document has strong words in it that jump out like that.
So that language, the compel statement, isn't new language. Is there a concern that there may be additional amendments that you would like to see done, or is that existing old language that we haven't changed troubling?
Is the word compel in the document?
It is. And that's original to the rules prior to these amendments.
I didn't see that. I missed that. It's a strong word. I'd rather see a softer word there in that particular usage. That's just my suggestion.
Yeah, just, and one comment, too, to throw in there. The word compel certainly does seem like a strong term, but it's also a very common word of art in the legal profession with regard to particular activity. So okay. I suspect that one, it is existing language, but I would suspect it was incorporated according to its common usage meaning.
Thank you. I actually kind of anticipated that as an answer.
Yeah, I'm not an attorney. I'm proud to say that, but I've worked around a great number of legal documents, and that's a term that you see quite often in that profession.
So do you feel that the rewording of 18.4.1 with what you've deleted and then what you've relocated into 1818 essentially doesn't make any change in the duties of the secretary?
I did not feel, no, that there were direct changes to the duties of the secretary, because earlier in the document, the duties are really those notions of compelling evidence lie here at the commission level. It's really just a matter of cleaning up the language that allows us to do that through the secretary and chief examiner's position to act on our behalf. Okay. That much of the changes that came through the Civil Service Commission and through City Council 2 or 3 years ago were for those very issues that the power is really laid at the commission level, not at the examiner level.
Okay.
Would it help for me to just...
Yes, please. Okay. Is that Sophia's note?
Yeah, so this is...
Just give us some background on that.
The two previous commissioners were working with our attorney at the time on amending the language, and really what they were trying to get to is to make a change to Rule 18 that clearly states that non-disciplinary appeals can be delegated to the secretary, while disciplinary appeals go through the hearing process with the commission. And so the commission gave the guidance last year that anything that's non-disciplinary, so that would be, an applicant, so a non-employee, or if there was an employee that had an issue with something else in the rules, like a promotion or something like that, that would go through the secretary first, but the commission could say, yes, do an investigation if they wanted to. And then anything disciplinary, that would go through the standard hearing process, which is covered by Rule 18.
You okay on this?
Yes. That's a good explanation. I appreciate that.
All right.
There was another comment I made.
Timing. In regard to the striking of the, or use of the word reasonable time in lieu of 20 business days.
I just think you leave it open loop.
The reason being is we only meet every 30 days, and the ability of an appellant to automatically have their appeal justified or approved just by virtue of us not meeting within a 20-day limit. And that's why.
You could make it a year. You could make it 180 days. It doesn't have to be 30 days or 60 days. I mean, it just is open loop.
In lieu of use of the reasonable time statement.
Yeah, I think reasonable time is open loop. I would say pick your own date, which, you know, if it's far-fetched, so what? It's a date. That's my thought on it. You don't want it open with
missions.
No, is it just your feeling on this, or is there have you got some examples?
No, I have no. I came here with no examples. I just read this as a person that was interested.
I understand.
And I saw that, and I just said, well, with that, reasonable is as you define it. You define it. We all define it differently.
Well, and in the long run, we're all way off base. The courts define it. So, I mean, that's a pretty common thing in just about all. You know, I'm okay with the wording we have right now. Reasonableness is meant, I think we would try to be reasonable, and I think the reason we did it that way, you know, by not missing, you set time limits. Anytime you're arbitrary, you're going to get probably more attacks than anything. What we're going to do as a commission is try to deal with things as quickly as possible. And I'm okay with what we have. Do you guys have any comments?
You're okay with
our current worry, with reasonable.
Using reasonable time.
Yes, using reasonable
time. So as amended.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And I'm not opposed to reasonable, but I can see the at least appeal, particularly to transparency and openness, of having an outside time limit. The problem with having a reasonable is, yeah, it's open to varying interpretations, and if someone is aggrieved by what they feel is going beyond reasonable, then the recourse generally takes you in the court. On the other hand, if you have a finite period, and I would set on the law side to allow for things like, you know, missed meetings or lack of quorum in the meeting. But then you don't have to run to the court, you don't have to run to the attorney, you're looking to go, it's 90 days and we're on day 70. Cool. Or, you know what, we're approaching day 90, we need to do something.
You know, Rich, I'm not particularly married to the, you know, revised use of reasonable. You guys feel we should set a time date.
Yeah, and I'd want to set it long enough to allow for at least one or two interruptions of the commission meeting, you know, maybe a lack of a quorum. But I think it is, there's merit to the argument that reasonable is open to different interpretations and to a lack of remedy if someone feels we've gone beyond what's reasonable. So I think I would feel more comfortable with the timeline, but again, setting it on the long side. Obviously, 20 days won't work because that could expire before the next available meeting. I would probably throw down 90 days as a straw man, but maybe even longer if you see a need.
Can we create some language of the 90 days, but then have an escape valve there that we have a regular meeting and are discussing the appeal, and we can prove cause to extend that timeline because we've met on it, we've discussed it, and we need to compel additional evidence, we need to do additional research on
that,
X, Y, or Z.
As long as there's a record created of what and why.
That we're not just pushing it off, we're not just hoping that the time expires, but that we have a set timeline, but then have an escape valve to extend it and be able to justify that extension.
Well, you guys want to put that together and make a motion on it? It looks like we're all okay with something like that.
Okay. Do you think we could either, as we don't have any more lawyers at the table with us, we may want Scott or Sophia to generate that language
sure.
for us. So let's shoot for 90 days with some kind of escape valve that allows us for an extension on that. Does that seem reasonable?
So with the understanding that, I had it all in my head, a extension could be granted under extenuating circumstances. Not a lawyer, my dad.
Yeah, that would be the caveat.
That's what the lawyer needs.
We can do that, and we'll put on the record what the circumstances were.
Oh, I know that.
As soon as the county right.
Thank you. All right. I think we're comfortable with that.
Okay.
Thank you for changing the agenda. I'm going to escape.
All right.
So are you going to not vote on them then? You can change your rules at any time. You could approve everything else except that, and then we could bring it back to the next meeting. Or you could wait for the whole thing.
That's right. So my suggestion would be accept what I said and let the lawyers change it. I think they're going to be happy with it.
So the rules allow us to really change our rules any time, but we were doing several rules in several different sections, mm-hmm. So we were doing that originally back in November, and we've extended it to allow for this public access and the guild notification thinking. So we can approve all of the existing changes absent 1814 and then have an additional change to 1814 in the future.
We've operated on these rules now a couple of years the way they are. Why don't we just get it on? It doesn't matter, but why don't we just get it in one package at the next meeting?
Sure.
I just had one follow-up question. And, so the rules were... the new rules amendments were extended to the Guild in November, December. So does the Guild have any comment at all of any of the rules amendments or concerns or changes?
I think you addressed it as the 1818 was a question of if that would be a conflict of interest. Because if there, and again, I'm going to speak in very layman's terms because I'm not super familiar with how this works, but it was described to me that if there was a complaint that was non-display that wanted to be addressed towards the city, say the city manager or somebody, that the person that would actually be doing the investigation to see if they had any validity would be done through the secretary, which was in essence their employer. So they didn't know if that was going to cause any conflict of interest, but I think he kind of addressed that issue, that it would be brought to the commission. Is that correct? And then,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, do you see any where that could cause a problem?
It could. Sure. I think that's obvious. There's a different hat. She's got to wear two hats now. So.
Yeah.
But it has to go through the commission before she starts anything. It has to be directed by the commission. It will be directed by the commission.
So that was the only thing that was brought to my attention. But obviously, if it's workable, and that's an issue.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I'm trying to think of a situation where that might come up, but we know from other cities that they have a similar setup where it's someone in HR, or, you know, it's another employee that is the secretary, so I would hope that...
And within our rules that we have the ability under this and the city code, mm-hmm. that if we feel that there is a conflict of interest at the secretary, then we have the authority to appoint a separate third party to review those things for us.
Okay, and I think that was just explained to me that maybe is that how it used to be done, and or has it always been done this way?
Well, we used to have an external person as a secretary, yeah.
Right, okay.
But that's right, the guild, anybody covered by these rules can always make that request to the commission.
Okay.
Okay, let's see, where are we now? Item 5? We approved minutes. We jumped to 9. This is the public comment section. Do you, you're still a member of the public? Mm-hmm. We have another one back here, I think. I can't see.
Yeah, maybe. I'm going to get that. I'll just cover that, please.
Okay. Yeah, are there any comments from members of the public? You get another shot at us.
No, I thank you for hearing me out for the input that I provided to the document.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And my name again was Mike Ceresi.
Thank you, Mike. That was helpful. That was helpful. Thank you very much. Okay, item 6 is the police chief's report. He's not here.
No,
did he give you one?
Yeah, we talked, so I have several items that would probably go for both.
You're going to cover it for him?
Some of it, mm-hmm. So, I know you're all aware that we are transitioning the secretary chief examiner duties to Amber, but we're going to take a little bit of time in doing that. So she and I are working together for this period, for right now, and I would say another month or so as we get going with some of our projects for the year. So I'm speaking on behalf of both of us, but just wanted to explain that. So I have a number of things that are going on, and these are in no particular order. So at the last meeting, we talked about asking for some input from our attorney on a couple of items. And then there was an email also about asking about if we can give preference in hiring to people for certain skills or education, things like that. And so I have been trying to get a hold of our attorney, and we just keep missing each other today. He said he was available at 4, so I will be speaking with him. Amber and I will probably both talk to him in the next couple days, hopefully, and then I'll send you an email. But we can recap it at the next meeting, too, for the public, to let you know the answers. That was one of the questions, Rob. What was the other thing that we were going to ask him about?
Preference one was the main one that I
had. Let's see. If we can offer any kind of incentive to employees for recruiting candidates who are ultimately hired. And the other, the other one was... talking about the balance or the division of the score, the written and the oral. So right now the oral score is worth 60% and the written's worth 40. So we want to hear from him about if there's a best practice suggestion or if he has any guidance on whether that's appropriate or, you know, if we want to make changes to that. So I will be working on getting some information from him. We are still going to work to find two more commissioners to join you. So I know Doug has some ideas about recruiting for a number of committees, and we'll be talking to you about that. But I know it's going to involve things like, you know, putting more detail in his city manager's report, maybe doing some advertising on the ferry, just trying to get out, doing some flyers around town, anything we can to try to get some interest so that we can have five people on the commission. Because, as we've talked about, it allows you to talk to each other between the meetings, but it also allows two people to work on an issue or a project outside of the meetings, too.
Before we yes. pass on that, the other avenue I was thinking about is if we could reach out to the civilian reps that sat on our pastoral board to see if they would be actually interested in serving as a full-time commission member. If they were interested enough to sit on a hiring panel, perhaps they would be interested enough in serving as a commissioner. Mm-hmm. If we have those distro lists from previously,
yes.
it might be another avenue for interested parties.
Mm-hmm. Along those same lines, we have an ad that will be in the paper this Friday looking for people to volunteer to join the interview panels. And we'll be putting something in the city manager's report and posting it on the website, sending a message out to our list of people who are interested in this commission. The chief had his public meeting last week. I know Rich was there. You were there. Ed, were you there too? Yeah, that's right. Okay, so you guys all know that. I don't need to tell you about it. But he is working on taking the input he received from the community, taking the list that the commission had come up with previously, and morphing or modifying it as he sees what he's looking for. So we'll have that ready to go to PST hopefully in the next week or so. And the plan is to send that to the testing agency along with the questions we used in our last interviews and the scoring criteria. And they're going to use that input and maybe give us new questions, maybe tweak the questions that we have, definitely revise our scoring process, and then they will follow up with, I hope, attending your meeting, but then definitely coming to when we get our panelists in place, providing them with some training on how the process works and what the scoring should be. So that's our plan right now. It all kind of hinges on finalizing this information on his end, and then we'll get that sent out. So that is really going to drive when we have our next interviews for police officers, because obviously need all that in place and ready to go. But in the meantime, we want to advertise for the panelists to try to get those people set up, at least lined up. And then we don't have a date right now. So last time we did this, we said people need to be available on July 9th or whatever it was. So we took that part out, and hopefully that won't be an issue. But I know you've talked about getting five or six people, you know, selecting all of them, and then you pick and choose as we do the interview. These people are lined up, ready to go. They've been trained, whatever. So other news in the department, one of the civilian positions is a senior police clerk. We have two people in that classification, and one of them is planning to retire in September. And so the department right now is working on timing for how they want to fill that. It would be ideal to have a good amount of overlap so that there could be a good training, because this person has been with the city for a very long time and has a lot of institutional knowledge. So the commission really just needs to keep that in mind right now. And obviously we will keep you updated in terms of timing, but you know, September, 5 months, that seems like a long time, but these things take a long time. So we want to make sure we give ourselves plenty of time. One thing I have done is sent an email out to other agencies to find out what kind of testing they've done for similar positions, because the last time we filled a civilian vacancy, it was the evidence technician, and I believe that we purchased a test from a testing company and that we proctored, you know, and scored ourselves. So we're going to want to think about what the best method is for testing for that position. So we will come back to you with some ideas on that.
So question, are there
currently two police clerks or two persons in this existing position?
Yeah, there's two positions in the classification. Yes.
And I know the one that's going to be hired or retiring mm-hmm. in September has been in there quite a long time. Mm-hmm. When was the other position last filled?
The other person started in 2009.
And so we have that test material for what was done before?
We do, yes.
And was that done with a written and an oral, or just a written? And
yes, both. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we can certainly look that up, see what we've got.
And I know there were some questions over that overlap. Mm-hmm. Because this gentleman has such an institutional knowledge in that position, the city was hoping to have some overlap between the two positions.
Right.
So we're looking at an August mm-hmm. hire date or something mm-hmm. like that. It seems like we would need to interview for this position fairly short. If we need to get tests ready,
yeah.
sit up panels,
mm-hmm.
Advertise for the mm-hmm. opening.
Yes. Yeah, because it's not like with the officers where we just have a bunch of people waiting and then we just call them right up. We have to do the advertising and get the applications in. So.
And is the position listed yet on the website?
No. No, so I think the next steps are the chief and the city manager will have a conversation about timing, and then we can report back at the March meeting if he's here, what the plan is for filling that, and then you guys can talk about what makes the most sense. So we could probably provide some options for the actual testing. And when I say testing, I obviously mean, yes, there will be some sort of a written test. With the evidence technician position, I know they watched a video and had to sort of write down observations or answer some questions about a scenario. So that is definitely going to be an element, I'm sure, but we will still want to do an actual interview as well.
Okay, let me talk about some administrative things for the commission. I think it's a good time to do it. Fairly new here, but who do you report to in the city?
The secretary, chief examiner?
Who do you report to?
Okay, I report to the city manager.
So, mm-hmm. And Amber reports to you?
No, she reports to the city manager.
Some of this we could probably cover, you know what I mean? I don't know if we need to get the city manager involved, but with Amber here, how long can we expect to get a phone call returned? How soon?
Wait.
Can we get one returned right away? Now that Amber's here, if we call and ask for something?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on what it is, but yeah.
Well, I think you'll agree, and you've talked about it a couple of times here, that it hasn't been the case.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be better now. Can we assume that?
Yeah.
Let me just ask, because I want to mm-hmm. get these things covered. What takes precedence over commission business? I get a sense that just about anything takes precedence over the commission business. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, at least as far as individual. Maybe it's just me, maybe the chairman as chairman, but how does that work? How do you set a pyramid of what's more important, what's less?
I mean, I guess just standard prioritizing, deadlines, that sort of thing. But, you know, you have to keep in mind, though, that the job that I was doing before is not the same job that Amber's doing now. It's significantly different. So the idea of restructuring is that she'll have a lot more time available. So.
Maybe you and I could date and talk more about it. That would be good. Because, truthfully, there was two things. I want to just talk about is it's a new year. So I'm going to talk about a couple of things. Not complaints, really. I mean, I think we could. Communication is important, but I think we need to get I was amazed when I first came here that there was no training for new commissioners. It's a complex job, really. I guess we could sit here and just do what we're told when the timeline comes up, but that's not probably the way Rich wants to work. And it's definitely not, I don't think, the way any of us. Rob's on top of it. None of us really are. I did have an opportunity to go to the conference training at the end of the year, but it will be a year before Rich will have that chance if he decides to take. There's a yearly conference, Rich and Rob, which I hope maybe all three of us can go and really make a big conflict of you know, problem, but the training is outstanding, and it really gives a good overview and a good sense of what this job, in, you know, involves. And it's complex, and it's simple, and yet it's complex, and we need, you know, three guys that are willing to make, you know, decisions when it's necessary. Is there a possibility, Kate, that you guys could find, in case I would be interested, if any of you guys are too, find that attorney for the Civil Service Commission, the guy that ran that conference. I think you're a friend of his, he likes you. The guy that was at the table with us. If we could maybe sit with and, you know, meet with another commission that's maybe established, been around a while, that's working well, and just see how things work there. And I would like that. I'm a big nut on training, and truthfully, I've never been on a commission. And I know there's a lot of reasons for it. I look like I'm talking to you. I'm not, because I know there's a lot of history here, but I've never been on a commission, and I've been on a lot of these things over the years. I've been a mayor, I've been a city councilman, I've worked on LA County Commission, Senior Citizen Commission, and I've never been on one where so little information was imparted to the new guys. It was kind of like I had to feel my way, you know, here. I guess I'm kind of complaining, but I think there's reasons for it, and I think there's a lot of reasons why, when we only have a few commissioners, why a lot of what we should be able to do, you know, have coffee, talk about things, we can't do because of the, you know, the vision. But I would like to do as much as possible to get Rich up to speed as quickly as he wants to and can handle. And I think there's certainly more that all of us could learn about this. So if you could get a chance and ask if you could find another commission that's reputed to be, you know, has been around a while, been together for a while, and working. I know we have the right and the ability. We decided we could hire, you know, go back and hire an outside. It seems to make a lot more sense if we can get our needs met working with the city. And I prefer not to do that, but honestly, you know, sometimes I wondered if, you know, maybe, you know, because I know you weren't busy, and you know, explained that to us several times. We need more attention, I think, as a commission. So that's my comment.
So it might be a good idea then to have Doug either come to your meeting, or just if you want to have a meeting with him yourself.
I don't mind going out and meeting with you and Doug. That would be good. I think would be if that would help.
Okay. Well, we can follow up on that.
But if you could follow up though on training opportunities for, I'd like to have at least Rich get the opportunity to be up to speed as soon as possible. Not only on what we do, which is pretty perfunctory, you know, with testing and whatnot, it's important, but also on, you know, opportunities to see what the Civil Service Commission, you know, what it really is about in Washington. And I'll take advantage of it too. Thanks.
Kate, I'm sorry, just a quick question, and I hope I'm not skipping around or going out of order here, but you had mentioned some of this stuff by the chief of police, and I know I can't really speak for him, but I know that it was discussed, it's been discussed as of late, with lateral applicants still having to take the CJA,
the written test,
from the Criminal Justice Training Authority. Is that still the current policy at this time?
They're taking the written test with public safety testing.
Public safety testing.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, and my understanding was there's going to be a discussion about having that requirement removed for the laterals.
I think the chief was planning on having that conversation with the commission, yes.
Okay.
Based on a conversation I had with him separately, he wanted to talk to them about it.
Okay, all right. And when is that supposed to be, or was that supposed to be today? Or?
It wasn't going to be like a formal agenda item. I think he was just going to bring it up under his regular report.
Okay.
But we can circle back with him and ask him.
Okay.
I mean, there's no reason why he can't talk about it next time.
Okay. Is that next month, or is that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. From a guild perspective, I know, like, one of our main concerns is trying to get people hired, because when there is just the amount of people that we have working right now, it does affect our work environment in a sense, because we are covering people when they go sick or leave. And so it's really important to us to see hopefully some new hires here soon. And obviously getting a lateral is great because you don't have to wait for them to go through the academy. And I think that we've got, there's many of us on the department that have recommendations for laterals that we know that want to come here, but they're just kind of pending the result if they have to go through public safety testing or not.
I think your chief mentioned you were a lateral. Where'd you come from?
I came from San Juan County, New Mexico, and I did go through public safety testing. And my understanding is that the test changed a little bit since I did it. Now, I still did the physical, and I did the written just because. But there's, as a lateral, you know, I'll tell you that, hopefully not to go off topic here, but finding a good lateral, I think, is really important. And there are different types of laterals that you're going to get. And obviously, from working in law enforcement, my reason for coming here had nothing to do with my past department, which was nice because I love my old department in New Mexico. I'd do anything for them, and didn't leave them for any negative reason. There are laterals that do want to go to another police department because they have problems with their current department. So sometimes that's the baggage that they're bringing over. Finding a lateral that doesn't have that baggage per se coming over is somebody that we want to look for, and getting recommendations from current police officers like myself or other people that work for us for those type of laterals, I think is invaluable. So if they didn't have to go through the public safety testing to get an opportunity to apply, I think would be great.
Yeah, getting the word on a guy is something you don't generally get with a lot of laterals. It just goes so far. Okay.
We've got a couple more things I can finish up.
Go ahead, Kate.
So the city has, the city council in November, as part of some staffing changes for 2014, made a request that we undertake a classification and compensation study, which the last time we did this was in 2007. So it's good to do those every once in a while. And the information that we'll get out of the study will help guide the budget and the upcoming labor negotiations. So we issued an RFP in December, and we received responses. And tomorrow at the council, we'll be asking them to approve a contract with Milliman as a consultant. So I will keep you informed, or Amber will keep you informed. We'll work on that in terms of how the timing goes. We have a pretty tight timeline because of the budget and the negotiation timing, so hoping to get that all done by the end of May. So it's pretty quick. But that will involve, you know, employees filling out questionnaires about their jobs and maybe some follow-up meetings, and then they will go back and look at the data, look for comparable cities, and then come back with some recommendations. So.
And is that in addition to the reclassification study we did for officers?
Yeah, so we just did that job analysis where we updated the job description for the police officer, and yeah, they're pretty much going to do that all again because they'll be looking at every job description in the city. So
you did that internally. You didn't use an outside agency to do
that. Correct. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could just send you the one you did last time. And then the last bit we had was the binders that we provided to the commission. You don't have yours yet. You have one. I believe you have one.
Yes.
Amber and I were looking at it, and we were getting ready to put yours together, but 90% of the documents in there need to be updated. So what we'll probably do is provide each of you with new copies. Our copy machine has been broken, so we didn't have that today. We also wanted to wait and see if you were going to approve the amended rules, so we can provide that information
for you. And I was going to use a brain book too, just from the RCW as well as statutory material.
Exactly.
It would just go to tell you what the rules were.
Right.
But it would also, I think, to dovetail on Ed's point, it's also really good not to know what the rules are, but to know what the practices have been.
Right.
And the work I've done so far has really been heavily on what the rules are. It'd also be really good to have some insight as to what the practices have been and why those were chosen as practices.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And just on that, I remember it was probably summer of last year, you were developing an SOP manual, kind of our work in process list that you were going to design really for your replacement,
right.
And it could also utilize for us as commissioners,
mm-hmm.
kind of a standard operating procedures manual
mm-hmm.
as an addendum to the rules.
Yes.
It's been put on the back burner now.
Yes.
It seems like a good time to make sure that we have that.
Yes, and we've been talking about that as we've been going over, you know, different aspects of the job. We've been I've been walking her through things, and so that's been really helpful because that has helped me put it out step by step. So, yep, working on that.
Anything else, Kim?
I believe that's it. I talked about the key traits, didn't I? Yes. About the chief sort of condensing all of that. Yeah, okay, that's it.
Just if I can take a second. My other thought is that I know Rich hasn't had an opportunity to see kind of our past testing material, and I think
mm-hmm.
his background, that would be useful. So really, I don't know if you've had a look at our last oral board questions. And
I saw the questions, but...
Just in preparation for when PST comes
uh-huh.
back to us, so it's we're not, the newest members aren't caught cold,
yep.
that they see how what we've had before, and then you can have more
input. Yeah, it'd be really good to see it. I'm kind of curious as to the testing. I did interviews for our deputy sheriff applicants
mm-hmm.
in Los Angeles, and I've been as part of the design team for our last three sergeant's exams and our last two lieutenant's exams, to see how the process went together.
Great.
And I have a little bit of concern, mostly from talking to the chief and also from the meeting on the 6th, that maybe some of the instruments that we're using, particularly in the oral interview questions, may not have that appropriate discriminatory effect amongst the applicants. And that's always been a common problem every system I've looked at. And I think given our unique status here, and I've got very definite thoughts on laterals. So it doesn't give us your best and your worst people coming in. So that makes the discriminatory effect really good to make sure you're getting the best laterals and not the other end of the scale. And it's even more important in this community. Really, I found I don't know if we really have the right environment to groom a brand new officer. I know we've got one person who seems to be doing really well, and I'd like to learn more. But I don't know that we have the volume of crime and criminal activity to get somebody really dialed in from ground zero, which makes the lateral all the more valuable. And then the part about you get them out on the street faster, your learning curve is faster, that's all gravy. You've got a better product from the get-go. But you really have to make sure you have that right vetting process. And so that's something that I think it'd be really good to look at and
uh-huh.
see what tools are going to get us through that vetting process.
Yeah, so we'll definitely send those out. And those are the questions that we'll be providing to PST when they give us recommendations for changes. And obviously, you will be involved in that. So they'll come back with suggestions that you may or may not want to take. So.
Can you just comment on that? I think that's an excellent observation because you're right. I mean, this is a different environment here. And I guarantee that if I started here with my career, it would take me years, 20 years maybe, you know, to get the experience on a certain subject of crime that I learned in just 1 year where I came from because our crime was so busy over there. So definitely, if grooming somebody here, it would take many, many years for them to get that kind of experience as opposed to just getting one.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're also looking for whichever kind of, you missed me, you weren't there on the 6th, but you spoke really. We talked a lot about Mo's handling of an elderly Alzheimer's lady.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you're where I come from, it would have been 10 minutes of dialogue and a radio car trip down to the emergency room because I'd also have 10 other things you had to deal with that night. That gets old fast. Okay? And there's a lot of value to being able to do it the way Mo did. It takes time and it takes an officer and time to do that. And we have an environment here that's supportive of that that you don't have in a lot of those faster places. And a lot of the faster places, though, get an officer that's seen the criminal activity, can respond to it, be a better first responder. So what I really want to do is get that guy who has that 10 years experience, wants to do it like Mo did, and get that person here as fast as you can. Because that's the kind of fit I think that we need. And the only way I think you can get a person like that is kind of groom them someplace other, wait till they're ready for that life change to come here. And then we've got a lot we can offer them, with good schools for the family, good place to live, and a place where you can do things that you can't do elsewhere. but you got to have a vetting process that identifies those folks. Otherwise, you make a big investment. You don't hire police officers in this day and age. You adopt them. And then once you adopt them, you got them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to wrap up then. First of all, I want to welcome Rich. He's bringing a lot with him. We all have law enforcement background. I think we've probably got close to 60, maybe over 65 years total. I've got 30. I know Rich has about 25 here with the sheriff or more.
31 with the sheriff and 37 total, and it went fast.
Rob has naval intelligence, a number of different. We're all coming from different phases of law enforcement. Mine was primarily investigative. We all had the badge and had the honors. Anyway, and I also want to thank Rob for, I think he did a great, I like the way you did it. I won't be able to do it as well as you did, so I'll do it differently, but I appreciate the help you gave me. You always there when I need it. Kate, you too. Thank you very much for the work, and I'm glad. Well, Amber, welcome. All these little amenities of mass recovery.
Ed, I realized I didn't have a packet in front of me, but I realized I didn't walk you through the numbers. Should we do that real quick?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, you're still on your report anyway.
Okay. So we provided you with the continuous eligibility list. They have not been updated since the beginning of the year because there are no, all the names expired and there's no new, we haven't interviewed anybody, so there's no one on here. But I just wanted you to see that they haven't changed.
There's no one on the entry level list for present to hire?
Right.
Okay.
Yep. There's no one on entry or lateral because their eligibility expired. And a lot of this, Rich, is to do with the testing agency implemented a new test, and so the scores from the people who took the old test can't be mixed with the people who took the new test.
Okay.
So we had to exhaust our list before we can build new ones.
Okay. And just for my benefit, is there any statutory or other requirement for a lateral to do the entry-level testing?
No.
Okay, that's self-imposed?
Right. Mm-hmm. So then the second two documents, which are the portrait version, whatever, these are the people who have taken the written test for our agency. So we're up to, 111 on the entry level, and they're ranked by score. And I've explained this, I think, at the last meeting, but I just want to do it one more time. The columns that we've given you here, the order that they're in, that is really driven by the file that we get from PST, and so we copy and paste that, and it's weird order, and I apologize if it doesn't make sense to you. The columns that you really want to pay attention to are obviously the score, if you care about when they took their test, and then the scores are valid 15 months. So this person, number one, you can see, took the test on October 13th, scored 92.69. That score is valid for 15 months, so through January 13th, 2015. And then the certified date, that is, I guess, always going to be the same date as the date they took the test. But I just include that in there so that you can see when PST verified that score.
Now, what might help on this, Kate, just a thought, since you're using Excel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could do a couple of different sorts, you know, that might help us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that way we're just dealing with the top of the page, really. It's what really matters.
Yeah, I think the commission primarily cares about the scores. I could be wrong, but
that's true.
Yeah. And then for laterals, we did have three new scores, which we have incorporated into that list, so we're up to seven. The number two person and the number six person, those scores are going to expire in the next few months, 6 months or so. Just pointing that out. So, that's it,
maybe,
really.
Maybe test scores and expiration dates of candidate scores might help. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Easier for everybody.
Yeah, sure. We can just eliminate the first two columns, probably, if you want. And just have it be those two.
Anything else for Kate?
I had a couple questions because I know you have access to your comparable cities or Secretary Chief Examiner distribution list.
Yep.
So questions that I might like to solicit from other agencies and commission, what their current score balance is between oral and written, because that's something that's been up for consideration if we want to rebalance that 60-40 mix to 50-50, and if their feelings on why they chose their numbers that they did. And then their lateral question on whether how many agencies and which agencies are still requiring laterals to conduct have written exams.
So I did that last year. Do you want me to update that?
I don't remember the data.
No. I don't think I gave it to you. I think I just shared it verbally that of the 17 people that responded, you know, X and X. So I can bring that same information if you want.
I'd like it updated.
Okay.
I would. I'd like the question asked again,
mm-hmm.
just so we have the most current information
in, okay.
Out there. I'm trying to think if there's something else. Those are my two main questions. That's something I'd like followed up. And just going back to the exams, when you see that, one of our main concerns was trying to figure out those discriminating scores, like trying mm-hmm. to create an anchor system or a score matrix that's not just 1 to 8, somehow tying it and being able to discriminate, having an instrument that discriminates a little bit better in the quality of those candidates and not just a raw number that the candidate just, or the tester just has to circle one number and can't really quantify it or tie it back to specific examples of behavior,
yeah,
and that's really
tough. That's what I and always try to see how other people did it because I don't think anyone found the magic bullet. I think on last week we're really kind of attacking the anchor oral where you have a question and you're looking for how to hit it.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, having administered a couple of those, the smart test takers figure out what the magic bullets are and they hit it really fast. And I could give somebody a hypothetical of how do you handle this bank robbery, mm-hmm. but having assistants gone vetted. Every afternoon, so if I mention the sheriff, 6 core values, I got to work that into every question.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking, how would you handle this bank robbery scenario? And the first thing I get are, well, here are the core values of your organization here. And when you look at the scoring matrix, that guy gets a great answer. You may not know the first thing about accomplishing the task at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really want to feel comfortable with is, what was the thought process of the individual? How was the thinking agility of this individual? How could they assimilate information and make decisions under pressure? But none of those really lend themselves to an anchored kind of format. So what we really found, and I was happy to see the chief kind of react to it, the worst people did the best on the exam, and that's probably not the right way to design an exam. And so I really would like to kind of brainstorm a bit and figure out, what are we really looking for? What can we structure to identify that? I know everyone likes to say discrimination is a bad word, but we really are trying to discriminate on an appropriate basis. Those that can do really well for us and those that may not, mm-hmm. and really focus our hiring efforts over here. And
discrimination is fine as long as it's not against a protected class.
No, I'm trying to discriminate a performance and trying to identify those that are really going to do well. And I know I've heard a lot of great things about our 3 recent laterals. I think one of us is amongst them. And I agree. It's been great. But, you know, that hasn't always been the case for our agency and for others. So, you know, I sure want the trend to continue, but I think we really ought to give it a good hard look and find out what's making the winning package and kind of go for that package.
Well said. Anything else? Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.